A reading from Exodus chapter 3. Now when Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from St. John's first epistle, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. O Lord, have mercy on us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When it was all said and done, Moses knew that he was in the presence of God himself. When it was all said and done, while hiding his face, Moses nevertheless stood in awe and marveled at the one before him in the burning bush. But he didn't start out that way. Now, did he? He certainly didn't. Near Mount Horeb, dear ones, he saw what at first may have seemed somewhat out of the ordinary, but nothing beyond the pale of what was natural. Again, he saw a burning bush, a brush fire, perhaps. But before long, as Moses drew near, it was clear that what he had encountered was very much supernatural. and even divine in nature. Before long, it was clear that the one in whose presence Moses was that which he had beheld, that which he had heard with his ears in the burning bush, was God himself. The one who spoke to him in the burning bush is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. And this was the one whom Moses made known then to the people of Israel, that together they might have fellowship and that his joy might be complete. Moses' joy, that is. And so too, when the men who became disciples of Jesus first beheld him, they saw what from the outside appeared to be quite an ordinary man, didn't they? He had grown up like a young plant. He had no form or beauty that we should desire him. And yet, as they drew near to him, like Moses did, and they saw what he did and all that he said and taught, it became very clear that the one in whose presence they were, though he is truly man, was not and is not just any ordinary man. Ordinary, fallen men are by nature prone to lie, prone to speak with deceit in their mouths and in their hearts. Ordinary, fallen men are by nature full of lust and malice and evil of every kind. You know this as well as I do, dear ones. You have seen this. You have heard this. You've experienced this in your own hearts, haven't you? We also know that ordinary fallen men of themselves aren't able to do supernatural things either. But everything is different with Jesus, as the disciples quickly found out. With Jesus, there is no deceit in his mouth whatsoever. There are no wicked lusts, nor malice, nor any evil in his heart. He's the God-man. In him, our human nature has been united with the divine nature. The fullness of the deity dwells in him bodily. And in Jesus, our human nature has been kindled, as it were, with the fire of this divine nature, just like the bush that Moses saw, kindled by the fire, but not consumed. In fact, Jesus is the same one who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. This was a theophany, is the name for it, an appearance of God, a manifestation of God himself. He is the one who was with the eternal Father before the ages began. The eternal Son is of one essence with the Father, and in the incarnation, he has communicated the attributes of his divine nature to his human nature. Our flesh, which he has made his very own, and yet our flesh has not been consumed in him, but it's been restored, it's been sanctified, cleansed, and redeemed. And so too, then, the incarnate Son redeems, sanctifies, restores, and cleanses the flesh of others as well. The lepers are healed. The fallen are restored to innocence. The unclean are made clean. Sinners are forgiven. The dead are raised. The demons are driven out. And even the devil himself is defeated, dear ones. Even proud death has been mocked. Even proud death was deceived by outward appearances. Death took the body of Jesus and met God face to face. Death took earth and encountered heaven. Death took that which was seen and fell upon the unseen. As I said, things are very different with Jesus, because he is no ordinary man. He's the God-man who has come to save us. He is that which was from the beginning, which his disciples have heard, which they have seen with their eyes, and which they have even touched with their hands. Think of Thomas putting his fingers into the sacred wounds of Jesus, touching God himself. They have seen him, and they proclaim him to you and to me, and they testify to us that we might have fellowship with them and with the Father through his incarnate Son, that their joy might be complete. Dear ones, take time this Advent season, and the time you have left, to contemplate in silence and stillness the divinity of Jesus. Take time to do this. In our hectic world that moves a mile a minute at the speed of light, take time to sit in stillness and reflect on Jesus' divine nature and what it means for you to be baptized into him, the very Son of God, the incarnate Son of God. You have become partakers, in fact, of Jesus' divine nature. Think on that. Reflect on that. Ponder that. You've become partakers of his divine nature even as he partakes of our nature for the sake of our salvation. Thanks be to God, and to Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.